This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Massive Online Open Courses, or MOOC, or MOOCs, is a way of delivering education straight to your desktop. In the studio with me is the founder and CEO of Open Learning. Welcome to the show, Adam.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
How has the update been with Open Learning?
Open Learning has grown a lot in the past few years. When I was last here, we had just started working in Malaysia with Taylor's University and the Dean of Engineering there, Professor Mushtaq Alatabi. So it was wonderful to be here back then. Since then, Open Learning has established an office in Malaysia. We're actually based in Sydney, Australia. But we set up an office here early last year. We now have over 30 staff here locally, and we're supporting over 26 universities and 34 public polytechnics.
What's your end vision on this? Because I have a very traditional view of looking at things. I think that an education can only be learned through a teacher. I'm still trying to get a grasp on how much I can learn from, say, Open Learning.
You're not learning from a computer. You're learning from other people. And that's what Open Learning is based on.
But in-person means there's feedback. I can always interject. I can always ask questions. I can always stop.
So online,
the teacher itself can look at my facial expression. If I have this dumbfound expression on my face, the teacher will react to it. That is not happening in MOOCs, right?
It's actually better than that. What you've described is actually quite a traditional view of education, where the teacher is at the center and the teacher is, you know, has all the knowledge and you're trying to get that knowledge.
Yeah.
And you know, they're trying to get that knowledge into you as quick as possible. The big change here is that it's more student-centered. Students have the ability to find information they need. They do learning experiences and activities and projects designed by the teacher. The teacher facilitates the community, gets to know the students, helps them out, helps them solve problems. But really, the students are learning from each other and in a community of people. So although it's online, it doesn't mean you're learning from a computer. You're actually interacting with more students than ever. And through these global courses, you're able to actually work with students from other countries as well. So I think that's the big change. I don't think you'll ever learn from a computer per se. I think the computer can make it easier for you to learn from other people.
So the Times ranking of higher education have listed Oxford as number one, Caltech as number two, Stanford, Cambridge, you know, the usual suspects, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they big on MOOCs, these top universities around the world?
Some of them are and some of them aren't. MOOCs around the world have been used very differently in different countries and by different universities. Many highly ranked universities are using MOOCs to attract more students. So it's almost like marketing. They offer one course and then people say, wow, I can learn this at Oxford. I'm going to go to Oxford. Other universities are using it to run blended MOOCs where the students on campus actually do projects with students from around the world. So it's enriching the on-campus experience for the students as well. But I think it's fair to say that every university around the world has some sort of online strategy. You know, how do they actually move online, whether it's blended or fully online or MOOCs? Some universities have said that they'll never run a fully online degree. Others have said we're going to put all of our courses as blended or all of our courses as MOOCs. But I think what makes sort of the Malaysia MOOCs program and the work going on in Malaysia quite special is that it is really the largest national initiative to help universities move online and deliver courses.
Why do you think that is the case? Is it because to reduce costs in general? Because in 2014, the budget for the higher education ministry has been cut from 2015 and 2016 as well. And is this a pragmatic way of looking at things? At the end of the day, it's about cutting costs more than anything else.
I don't think it's about that. From what I've seen, moving online in this way enables the quality of a course to be transparent, and it's increasing the quality of education being offered while increasing access to it. So if it's possible to offer, you know, these MOOCs to students all over the country who ordinarily wouldn't have been able to attend university, then there are huge benefits to society. Getting those benefits might not cost much more money because you're building an online course and you're, you know, letting people in and it's very easy to run. From my perspective, the main goal is really access and quality, not cost.
All right. And because of that, are you very optimistic about the way Malaysia's running things, particularly on the blended learning perspective with Malaysian universities and MOOCs?
Yes, I am. And I say that because I've been personally inspired by the passion that many of the lecturers have for improving the quality of their learning experience. They want to engage students, they want to provide better learning, and that's really their goal. Whereas even in some of the highest ranked universities in the world, their focus has been on research and on rankings, whereas many of the Malaysian lecturers are really focused on their students. There are many different resources today, different websites to take courses online, plenty around the world, but each of them is a bit different. What makes open learning special is that it enables anyone around the world to build a course and anyone around the world to take a course. And a course on open learning focuses on student interaction and engagement. So rather than just sitting at a computer, watching a video and doing a quiz and falling asleep very quickly, as you do in a lot of online courses, on open learning, you're actually working with other students both in Malaysia and around the world. You're doing projects together, you're chatting to other people. So it's a really engaging and interactive experience, just like you would have in the classroom.
Okay, so the Malaysian government's vision is that 30% of all public university courses will be taught online by the year 2020. And because Malaysia government and your company is working hand in hand, is this target realistic?
Yes, it is. We've been incredibly impressed with the passion and dedication and hard work of the educators at all of the public universities and polytechnics and private universities that we've worked closely with. Over the past few years, the public universities have gone from 4 MOOCs to hundreds now, both launched and under development. So it's quite amazing to see, and Malaysia is being recognized around the world for this. Earlier this year, the Commonwealth of Learning came to Malaysia. A delegation from Germany, the Ministry of Education over there, came to Malaysia as well to learn about the program. And in Australia, there's a lot of interest in what Malaysia is doing as well. So it's definitely achievable. I think there are a number of benefits to it. The big one we see is increasing access to education. So around the world today, most people do not get a chance to get a university education. And that's very disappointing. Everyone deserves that opportunity. But around the world, only about 7% of people actually get a university degree. In Malaysia, it's much higher, but still many people would like the chance. So what this can do is enable anyone in Malaysia to actually take courses at a university and get accredited.
Okay, so because it's free for anyone to learn on open learning, you have overhead expenses that you have to cover. So how do you pay yourself?
Yes. So Open Learning started in Australia. We're based there. We've got an office here. Our model is very simple. We call it outcome-based business. Anyone can take the courses for free, but if you want to get certified and accredited, then you pay a fee at the end of the course. And that revenue is shared by us and the education provider. So while many courses charge up front and they take the money immediately, whether you have a good experience or not, MOOCs are designed so you learn for free and pay at the end for certification.
Well, that would make budgeting a little bit of a hassle on your end. How do you sustain yourself as a business?
Yes, definitely. So we have a number of investors who've supported the company. We've raised a significant amount of funding. And all of our investors see that this is the future of education, that you'll be able to learn for free and pay for certification. Now, as a business, that means we don't make any money today. But in the future, there are big opportunities.
And because you tie up with Malaysian universities, have you received any funding whatsoever from the Malaysian Higher Education Ministry?
No. We provide the platform for free, and universities are able to develop their courses for free on the platform. We also provide training and other support. Our goal is to help Malaysian institutions of education develop excellent online courses that can eventually be accredited.
So these accreditation, right? I mean, does it mean that a person can graduate with a degree just by learning through your platform?
You won't be able to get a degree yet, but the direction it's going is that there will be a credit transfer for MOOCs guideline that will be announced shortly. That will enable up to 30% of a university degree to be delivered via MOOCs.
So that's like maybe 1 year out of a 4-year study. Is improving delivery enough for actually uplifting that kind of question on education?
I don't know as much about the Malaysian context as you. From my perspective, the delivery of education is critical. And what we've seen around the world is that a student comes into a university degree or they come into a course and they're inspired, they're motivated, they want to do something. They want to become an engineer or a scientist or a doctor or an entrepreneur. But for some reason, sometimes along the way, they lose interest in that. And I think the delivery of education is critical to maintaining a student's interest and motivation in the subject, inspiring them to learn more, and helping them achieve their dreams.
How do you maintain the quality of education throughout that course of study? On campus, in front of a lecturer, the lecturer can actually guide the student throughout the course program. But with online delivery system through MOOCs, through open learning, your business, how do you measure that kind of sustainability in terms of the student progressing accordingly throughout the course?
Yes, actually there are more ways to do it online than there are in person. When you're in person running a class or a lecture, there are many limitations. If you're lecturing, you can't speak to everyone all the time, you can't get feedback from everyone all the time, and in some ways you're adapting to the class, which is great. When you're online, what you can do is actually design activities. And these activities encourage students to work together to solve problems. And then all of the data and work the student is doing can be either shared with the rest of the community, so a student can do something, share it with the class, get feedback from their peers, and help each other learn. So when you're doing things online, the big difference, I would say, is you're designing the learning experience up front. You have to think about what you want to achieve, what the learning outcomes are, what activities will get you there, and design all of that. So it takes more effort in the beginning, but once you're running the course, you can support many more students, the same amount of facilitation.
Is MOOC going to replace in-person classrooms?
No, it won't. And even a great MOOC has a sort of a physical or in-person experience. Every great online course is a blended course. Even though you're doing many things online, you're actually doing things in person as well and reflecting about it online. Much like you'll go to a restaurant and then take pictures and post them on Instagram and talk about your experience. Online learning can be that kind of experience as well. And I think that many students will definitely still attend universities, but in order to achieve the goals that we set out as a society to educate more and more people, we can't do that by building many more universities.
This morning I'm with Adam Bremo, the founder and CEO of Open Learning. Adam, I think I want to talk about the urban-rural bridge in Malaysia. Right now, we have 70% urbanization. Only 30% of Malaysians are in the rural space. But do you think there is a need for us to reach out to those that are living in the rural areas and give them better education?
Definitely. I think that distance is one of the big things which prevents students from getting a great education. And online is definitely a way of solving that, but it has to be done well. Moving a course or a degree or anything online isn't a matter of just recording what you do in the classroom and putting it, you know, on YouTube, for example. It actually involves designing a learning experience that engages students no matter where they're located. And that is a skill, that is a challenge, but good teachers can do it, and online is a medium for doing that.
So when you say you have to design the best program for making it conducive for online learning, does this take away your role as a platform provider and pushes the content provider back to the lecturers and teachers?
Everyone has a role to play. Our role is providing a platform that is accessible on mobile devices, on desktop, on laptop, and that has all the features to make it as easy as possible for an educator or a teacher to do their job. And their job is designing that learning experience and facilitating that community.
If you get all the university students in Malaysia, particularly the government-funded universities, I'm talking like USM, UTM, UUM, UM, and so on, out of 100 students that is there, more than half are from rural areas. They form a large chunk of the student population. Have we not solved the urban-rural bridge?
I think you know the divide and everything better than I do. I think there are many ways we have solved it, but there's still more work to be done around the world in bringing in people across the country into the education system. For example, even the wealthiest countries in the world don't have a participation rate in higher education above 50 or 60%, which means a large portion of the population is missing out on higher education regardless of whether they live in the country or in the city. So I think the university system as it is does a great job of solving that. Online does a great job of solving that, but everything can be done more so that we can reach more students.
This morning I'm with Adam Bremo, founder and CEO of Open Learning. Up next we'll be talking about the unemployment rate in the country and how better education can actually help solve that. This is BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back. This is The Breakfast Grill, and this morning I'm with Adam Bremo, founder and CEO of Open Learning. Adam, there is a very disheartening number here. Degree holder unemployment rate in Malaysia stands at 31% as of 2014. And this is highly unusual because the unemployment rate in general in Malaysia is about 3 to 4%. So the conclusion here is that degree holders in Malaysia, they're not getting jobs. In your experience, why is this so? Are we not teaching enough at universities for them to get a job?
I think what I've seen around the world is that young people are facing new challenges in getting jobs. The challenges that you and I might not have faced when we were younger. Those include the changing face of technology, more jobs moving online. Another of retail shops moving online and not requiring as many staff.
Right, but the puzzling portion here is that young Malaysians are getting hired. If they don't have a degree, they can get hired. If they have a degree, somehow or other, they are not getting hired. So it's not about young Malaysians not getting jobs, because young Malaysians do get jobs, except that degree holders are not getting jobs. So where do you think is missing in this big puzzle of the education system?
So, to be honest, I don't have enough experience in Malaysia and with both the education system and the economy to answer that question thoroughly. But what I do believe is that students today have many things they would like to achieve. Some of them could get jobs in certain areas, but maybe they want different kinds of jobs. When you go into a university and when you do a degree, you may set out to become, an engineer or a scientist or a doctor or a lawyer, and that's a job you want to get. So in some cases, you might be willing to wait longer to get that. Or maybe they're actually looking at being an entrepreneur. So they're spending more of their time trying to start their own business, acquire different skills. So they may have dropped off the statistics in that way as well. I mean, to be honest, when I graduated, I filled out a graduate employment survey. I studied at the University of New South Wales in Australia. And I think my job was actually unemployed because there wasn't a category for entrepreneur.
Yeah, of course. And with this, I browsed through openlearning.com, and some of the courses that is being offered is on courses that includes Introduction to Entrepreneurship, which is offered by UITM, and other similar courses. Do you think that entrepreneurship needs to be taught as a course in universities? And do you think this will help with the unemployment numbers among graduates in Malaysia?
Actually, yes, I do think so. Entrepreneurship and being entrepreneurial are key skills that society requires. I think for people today, no matter what job they plan on going into, they need to exhibit entrepreneurial skills of being able to take risks, being able to solve problems, being able to challenge things. These are all things that are quite important. And the way in which you acquire many of these skills is through experience. Great entrepreneurship education will help students get that experience.
The idea behind entrepreneurship is that you're ready to make mistakes. You're an entrepreneur yourself. When you started this company with your co-founder, Richard Buckland, there are mistakes, I presume, or learning experiences that you can get with Open Learning. Because it's an education platform that you're providing, the room for you to make mistakes is actually quite small because you're literally messing somebody's education if you get it wrong.
I think there are always many challenges when you start a company. And I think the education sector in particular is one where you need to make sure that your product fulfills the needs of the students and the university. I agree that in some other areas, some other products you might develop, there is more room for mistakes. But in education, it's a critical thing. So one of the reasons why I started the company is actually my co-founders, Professor Richard Buckland from UNSW and David Collian, my CTO. Both of them have an incredible background in education. Richard has millions of views on YouTube, wins many awards. David undertook a PhD in online learning, online communities with Richard. So if it wasn't for the two of them, I wouldn't have started the business, because I believe that you need to have a thorough understanding of education, of technology, and how to build a platform that facilitates that.
Okay, so because of this, right, you seem to know the principles behind running a company, particularly in the education sector. However, what I'm thinking about right now is the fact that you're rolling out globally. You don't seem to know much about the local knowledge here in Malaysia. How do you synchronize this gap between the need to roll out globally and the need to actually make this local market fully comprehensible for you as a business owner?
So at the moment, I spend about, you know, 1 week a month in Malaysia, and I've been visiting for a couple years now. And although that might be a lot of time for me, that's nowhere near enough time to actually understand a market thoroughly. So I rely on my team locally. I rely on our partners. And although we provide the technology, we rely on the education providers to build the courses that work for their students.
And that means that you have to rely so much on the third party. Again, back to my question of ensuring the maintaining the level of quality of education, can you provide some sort of assurance that, you know, open learning, if we take courses in Malaysia, that kind of guarantee can be assured by you?
Yes, so we see our role as the platform provider. And the education providers, the public universities, the private universities, the polytechnics, are the ones who do the quality assurance on their own courses. So the standards for delivering the course on open learning don't change. The standards are the same as, you know, the same course that UITM would deliver, that Taylor's University would deliver. They have to have the same level of rigor in putting their course on open learning as they would putting it out to their normal on-campus students.
So at present moment, how many Malaysians are registered as taking courses with open learning?
About 250,000.
And how many of them are university students currently enrolled in universities? How many of them are generally, you know, open, public? What's the split like?
So based on our best estimate, about 180,000 are Malaysian university students.
So that leaves about 70,000 not university students.
Yes.
Is this a ratio that you're comfortable with?
I expect the number of people in the public taking the courses in Malaysia will increase significantly. Initially, a lot of university students are the ones most interested in finding new courses to take, because they're already taking some courses and they're interested in other topics. But we've seen significant interest both from the in sort of professional development, in corporates who are interested in taking courses, and just the general public who are interested in furthering their education or lifelong learning in some way.
The jury's still out there on making education a business. Since you have not received any payment from the Malaysian government, and the only payment model here right now is on, you get the accreditation, you can pay the fees to both you and the university that is providing that course. Is it fair for students to actually pay money to universities to get educated?
Well, universities have to provide many services, so they have to cover those costs in some way. Obviously, public institutions charge different fees to private institutions. Private institutions have been run like businesses for some time, and they provide great services to the students. So it really depends, you know, what you want to get out of the experience. Our view is that in the long run, there'll be more and more courses available under this model where you can take them for free and pay to get certified.
So in your opinion, it's perfectly fine for universities to be run like businesses?
Well, some of them are at the moment. I think the most important thing for a university is to provide a great learning experience to students.
So what's next for open learning then?
So open learning is growing a lot around the world. Our focus is on Australia, Malaysia, and Southeast Asia as a region. We've rolled out many new features in the platform to make it easier for educators to build courses and for students to interact. And now this model of being able to take courses for free and pay for certification is one that we're working hard to support around the world. And we've got many projects in Australia going on in that area, and we're really excited to continue working in Malaysia with many of the institutions on it as well.
So before we end, you were mentioning that there were 250,000 people enrolled with your program. Are you going to add on universities to that list and perhaps even grow that number even bigger?
Yes, definitely. Open Learning is an open platform, so any university, any educator is welcome to apply and start building their courses. And around the world, we've surpassed over 540,000 students, so there are students elsewhere who are actually taking courses from Malaysia as well.
I've been speaking with Adam Brimo, the founder and CEO of MOOCs, or Open Learning. He's been on The Breakfast Grill with us on BFM 89.9. I'm Ibrahim Sani.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.